David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. I'm Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. I am back here today with Elizabeth Jane. So today we are diving into how to manage toxic relationships. This is a huge, huge, important topic. We are going to learn how to step up and stop being stepped on. And to here to help us navigate that in this conversation is Elizabeth Jane. She is a relationship coach, a mentor, and a fierce advocate for personal development. Elizabeth has helped countless people break free from unhealthy dynamics and reclaim their power. So in this episode, we're going to explore how to identify toxic relationship patterns, the power of boundaries, how to step into your self-worth and personal power without guilt, and practical steps to detach, heal, and move forward in a way that serves you. So if you've ever felt trapped, unheard, or drained in a relationship, whether it's romantic, professional, or personal, this episode is for you. And if you did not listen to the last episode that Elizabeth and I did together, we spoke about forgiveness and the power of forgiveness and how that will set you free. So go back on our channel, check it out. It's amazing. Before we get started, I just want to thank our sponsors, Spreaker and iHeartRadio. Without you, this could not be possible. Nice to see you, Elizabeth. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thanks, Lisa. Yes, good.
Good. So we had a really, really powerful conversation last time. Do you want to just give everyone a quick little update, a quick intro of who you are, and we'll get started there.
Yes, well, I'm an author, and I wrote a book. It just sort of happened, really, because I was trying to move through the trauma of a difficult divorce, and I was thinking, well, what's helping and what's not helping? And so the book organically grew about all the tools and tips to actually move through a trauma. And I realized the power of forgiveness, because no matter what you believe someone has done to you and caused you in any ways, caused you pain, or it's so important for you to forgive. It doesn't mean you condone their behavior. That's by no means. But forgiving makes it easier for you, and it's healthier for you, because if we hold all that grudge and that revenge within us, it doesn't do us any good. So I was really blessed to, the divorce was very tricky, but it really helped me empower myself and realize the importance of standing up for what mattered to me. Yeah.
Wow. What a time. What a time for transformation in your life.
Yes. Well, it was a gift. I mean, it just doesn't feel like a gift at the time. You know, it felt like, you know, how could this happen to me? You know, I was totally in victim mentality. And it was only when I had time to reflect after, you know, a couple of years, that I realized that this was an opportunity, a massive opportunity to actually work out. You know, we all come onto this planet Earth, and we all deserve to be happy and, you know, and free, and to be able to be the leader of our lives. And I just didn't realize I had lost myself in my roles as not only wife, but as a mother of four children. And then I realized, as I started to reclaim me, that I was actually helping my children, because, you know, we role model for our kids. And I'm just so relieved that I'll see that the next generation won't be doing what I did in terms of not putting myself first. And it's tricky. People don't think about, they think it's selfish to put themselves first. Oh, I've got children, I can't put myself first. I've got, elderly parents, I can't. But when we put ourselves first and we lift and we self-care enough, then they get all the happy energy and the good vibes. Whereas if we're putting ourselves last, which is sort of like the program often, for mothers, they think, oh, well, we'll sacrifice this and put our children first. But then we're not any good to ourselves, but also not any good to our loved ones, I don't believe.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We got to be strong, look after ourselves first so we can be the foundation, and then we can hold everybody up, right?
Yes. I mean, what was it? The flight attendants on the plane, put your mask on first before
Yes.
you help others. No, I
Yes,
think,
I
it's just,
powerful.
yeah.
So let me ask you this then. Today we're talking a little bit about toxic relationships. So, how do we identify toxic relationship patterns? What are those?
Well, I think it's really just any patterns, whether it's spoken behavior or actions that make you feel small, feel disempowered. So it can be very
So that could be
subtle,
something
I
like
think.
passive aggressive, like someone being passive aggressive, or like, what do you think?
Yes, well, it can be anything. It can be someone just sort of not supporting you. Any behavior that is not supporting you really needs to be looked at, I believe. So, if it's behavior that is causing you to feel any way belittled or not empowered, like you feel that you can't speak up for what you need, or you don't even know what you need because you're so lost with looking after someone else and not getting any support or in return. It's a two-way street, I believe. A relationship should be supporting from, both parties need to be able to support one another.
I recall, I mean, I try and work on myself and my relationship every day, and I know that there's been some times where I've been it's come from a place of jealousy almost. Like if Matt's got plans to do something and I'm home by myself and I don't have plans, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna do this with so and so, and then I'm like, I don't know, I say something silly like, oh, well, what about this? And it has nothing to do with it. It's just because I'm like, I miss him, or I want to see him, but it's coming from that place. But I now can recognize those patterns and then know that, it's one night, he's gonna have a good time, he's gonna be with like the people that he wants to be with, and it's my issue. So it's like really important to learn how to analyze the reactions and everything that we're doing so we know exactly what where they're coming from, right? Something I try to work on.
Well, I think that the best way to work on it is to work on you. Because once we change our internal landscape, there's a lot in the press and on media about self-care and self-love. And what is this self-care? Do I really need a bubble bath every night? Is it what is what is this? And how will this help me? So I really wanted to write my book, Free and First, Unlocking Your Ultimate Life, in a way that would be straightforward, so people could say, okay, well, because how are you going to stand up and not be stepped on if you don't believe you're worth it? You need to work primarily on you in terms of building your self-worth. So that may be, there's so many ways, and I talk about it in my book, so many ways. And yes, it may be the bubble bath, like it's a very individual thing. And, like I just have, I have a list of 10 things that I go to that make me feel good. And I don't rely on someone else outside of myself, whether that's, my children or my husband or my partner or whoever, or a best friend even, that, oh gosh, I need to find that person so as I feel good. I need to spend time. So I go, okay. As you said, your partner's not there, they're out having fun. You're going, oh, right, I'm not feeling too good. So then take yourself on a date, like buy yourself flowers, go and pick the neighbor's flowers, whatever it takes to bring joy into your life, like just, and that's what I would always find, that I could never stand up to bad behavior if I didn't feel good about myself. Because I thought, oh, well, it's just going to drive them away. I mean, it's just, I'm going to be just left with, my kids are going to just ignore me or leave me. And so it's really important to practice this standing up, but we can't stand up, I don't believe, until we feel good enough to
Yep,
stand
so
up.
strong. I love
And
that. You absolutely hit the nail on the head, because in that scenario for me now, I'm totally fine and supportive. I love when he goes out because I have my own things, and I'm like, okay, well then now I'm gonna do this because I make myself happy. I fulfill the needs of myself. Everything else is just gravy. So yes, and I do not take a lot of bubble baths, just to be clear. I'm just kidding. I just pictured bubbles everywhere when you were speaking. So
And yeah.
well, let me ask you this then. The power of boundaries. I know how powerful they are. How do we set them? How do we maintain them? How do we not step over the line?
Okay. Well, the So once we've sort of stepped up and we're feeling good about ourselves, then we've got a chance of following through and setting boundaries. But before that, we have to do something else, because I believe that when we get so busy with life, we're busy with work or we're busy with family or even busy with friends, partying, and but we when we're busy, I don't feel, it was true for me, I don't know about you, Lisa, but you can't feel how you really feel. You're sort of numbing your feelings. We were having a champagne or having a drink. Oh, yes, life's good. Yep, life's good. Or we're busy. Oh, no, as long as I keep busy, as long as I keep busy, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And what happens is we're bottling in and numbing ourselves as to how we feel. And so the number one step is we need to stop. We need to sort of get out of that hamster wheel, off that hamster wheel of life. We have to stop, breathe, and feel. What are we feeling? We're feeling anger. Is there any anger that we can feel? And if that anger is just there in a little tiny incy-wincy bit, it means it's a good sign, because it's a signal. It's a signal that we need to feel into what we're missing, what we need, and to step up and put a boundary in place. But until we feel, we don't know what we need. So we need to stop, feel into our feelings, and then we know what we need. We're at A. I talk about the ABC of me in my book. So A, acknowledge, allow, and accept how we feel. It's not bad. We don't shame and blame ourselves, because we're feeling anger or we're feeling sadness and we don't feel it. It just gets stuck in us. And it can have havoc with our health, and it's not going to help us. It's not going to be processed. It's going to just stick heavy in our psyche and keep us down. So we need to do A, stop, A, acknowledge, allow, and accept how we feel. B is about setting the boundaries, and C, we need C. The communication of the boundaries is very, very important, because, like if I say, oh, could you just put the lid on the toothpaste, like, oh, look, please, and you're sort of saying it not in an authoritative way, We don't have to get aggressive. We don't want to stay passive because we just won't be heard. So it's a whole chapter in my book about A, whole chapter in my book about B, and a whole chapter about C. To be free, we can't just do A. We need to do the A, B, C. And we also, there's a whole chapter on that self-care, because unless we practice this A, B, C, unless we feel good enough to actually stand up and courageous enough to put this in place, and we need to practice it. We can't, we won't necessarily, well, for me, I didn't succeed. I had to keep trying and trying again and to do it, because if you've been passive or people pleasing for a long time, it can be challenging, let's say, to feel good enough to stand up. And it took me time, and it took me a lot of perseverance, but it was worth it in the end, because it great news is it just to help build those relationships, because I thought it would scare them away, like I thought, oh no, I can't speak up, and it probably did scare them at first, because they thought, oh, this is not the normal Elizabeth Jane that I've seen. She's usually very helpful. She's usually happy to put up with me with this. And then all of a sudden, as I was standing up, I thought, oh gosh, I might lose my children, I might lose my best friend. But it ironically, it when we can be vulnerable enough to express our feelings, it actually, I believe, it builds intimacy. And the walls come down that are starting to be bricking up slowly but surely. I had a 25-year marriage, and I thought, oh well, I'm just, I go with the flow and keep everyone happy and it's all good. But what happens is the bricks start to go in there, and then you're left with, oh, if you're not sharing how you feel, well, what sort of relationship have we got? And then it happens so. Well, for me, it would happen so subtly, and we're all busy. I was busy with children and busy with lots of things, different careers, and it can catch up on you, and that's my experience anyway.
I think there's a lot of things there. I think when we have boundaries and we respect ourselves and we stick to them, the other person, whatever relationship that is, they see that respect and they respect us more. I know for me, it's challenging sometimes for me to hold on and like stick to my boundary in my relationship because A, I'm like, I need to choose my battles, but it's so much easier to just let it go. And especially because then I'm emotional and then I'm like, I feel like I want to connect, but it's just so hard to stay strong and actually like stick to what I said I'm going to stick to sometimes because I just it's hard to do that. But you're right, like the more we work on ourselves, the more we stay in our power, the more we fulfill our own needs, it gets easier and easier to do. And then your partner respects you more, and then your relationship gets better. But it's not easy.
No, and I think I have another chapter in my book about when we fall down, when we don't succeed,
So talk,
we don't want to
talk about that. Because
we don't want to judge ourselves. Pardon?
I said talk about that then. Like, let us talk to the audience about what that is like and how, like, what that looks like. How do you pick yourself back up? Because it happens so often for so many people.
Well, I think, that when you go through a trauma, whether it's a relationship trauma, a health trauma, or financial trauma, and some people have all three baskets happening at once, unfortunately. And this book, I wanted to get out to the world, because people deserve to feel good. And so when we're experiencing a trauma, it all sounds good and well to say, oh well, stand up for what you want and follow through. But in the early days, when I was in such a bad way, when I just could not get out of bed. And the thing that I learned is baby steps, baby steps. So I'd have a list on the fridge of things that made me feel joy, and I'd only tackle the things that I had to for that day, and I'd try not to feel shameful or judge myself, because if we're shameful and judge ourselves, guess what? We're feeling worse. And so then as a whole big chapter again on when we're feeling yuck, when we're not feeling good about ourselves, it's usually because we've stepped into the past with our thoughts, shaming and blaming and judging, or we're in the future, fantasy fearing our future. So it's a fantasy. So we're fearing, oh, what do we do? My husband's going to leave me. And where am I going to get the money? And where am I going to live? And so our mind can play bad tricks on us in a way, because the past is spilt milk. My grandmother used to say, it's gone. It's past. And the future is a fantasy. So we need, if we're feeling awful, if we bring ourselves back into the present and we're mindful, okay, I'm in my bed. Well, got a roof over my head, and think about all the things that make us feel grateful. The things we're grateful for can actually make us lift us up, make help me help you get out of bed when you're having a bad day. And just anything, hobbies, 10 minutes a day of doing something that brings you joy. Just playing, like kids play. Why can't we go skipping? How many people you see skipping down the road to their coffee? We don't, because, oh no, we better not be silly. Gosh. But sometimes if we did just skip in the street, or we did get a piece of chalk out and did a hopscotch, simple things that are light and playful can actually lift our mood, dancing to a silly song, or cooking our favorite meal, or talking to an uplifting friend. So have your list on the fridge about what you need
The real
to get.
emergency list.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they say, there is one list, I think, where you could grab one idea, grab ice from the freezer. Because if you grab ice from the freezer and you hold ice in your hands, you have to be brought back into the now. You've got no choice. You can't, because you've got the ice in your hands, you've got the sensation of this ice, feeling it in your hands. You can't be in your mind. So it is amazing that we can actually just, once we start to realize that we are not our mind, and we are much more than that. And then and that really helps us to step up, and then we can start putting ourselves first, as my book goes on to say.
I
Because like
love
everyone
that.
goes, putting ourselves first, that sounds so selfish. It sounded so selfish for me. I was like, oh no, that's really not the way. That's really selfish, and it's up myself to think that I could be putting myself first. And we were so programmed to put ourselves last. When we've got children and elderly parents, or whatever the situation, husbands, partners. But once I realized that the program was wrong, and it wasn't empowering for anyone, including myself, including my loved ones, I that was really easy for me, and to just drop it. But it still took time, because you're doing a program for, I don't know how many years I've been on the planet. It's hard to, you can't just overnight go, okay, well, this is how it's going to be now. But you try, but I, yeah.
It's definitely, it takes work, and it like consistent work. And something that you mentioned is so important and powerful is that the mindset, and that our ability to detach from those thoughts thoughts and feelings and patterns and not let them control your actions or put you in freeze mode. So, one of my mentors who I just absolutely adore, I was having a bit of a rough day on Saturday, and she said, "Why is that bothering you? You're putting that story in your mind. You attach that story to the end of whatever was happening in that moment." And I snapped out of it. I'm like, "You're right." I'm like, "That's my story that I'm attaching to this message that shouldn't even be affecting me. It should have zero of my attention right now." And it's so important to remind ourselves that a lot of times we're reacting based on trauma, based on our past, based on what we're learned, everything you just talked about, having all these things ingrained in us. But that's the story we attach to situations, right? So having the ability to control and have a strong mindset, as you mentioned, is very, very important. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, well, like I think, in the early days I'd go to yoga and think, well, I'm doing something good for me. And then I'd go and have my coffee with my girlfriends, and we go into the drama. We go into a drama of who says that he says, and then it's just like, guess what that would do? That would just undo all the good work and take me down. Because all this drama, getting hooked in, it's like, I think my spiritual teacher said, it's just like being it's like quicksand. The more you go, allow your mind to go over and over the drama. It just builds the bomb of dark energy. And plugs us down into a place. So we really need to go, okay, not going there. No, sorry. Sorry, mind, I'm not going there. You've nearly caught me going there, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to distract myself, bring myself back into the now with a hobby, ring a friend, whatever it is, whatever your list is sort of, you're excited about that lifts you up. And then you're in a position to go, okay, now I'm in a good place. I'm going to look at what's really making me angry. Why am I feeling this sadness? And really feel into it. Like, be a detective and go, okay, yes, I could react to this. I could have an anger bomb. But again, we have a road rage moment. And what do we know? I mean, it just builds the energy, big bomb of black energy, and no one wins. No, we're actually giving away our power when we react. But if we look and we go, ooh, not happy, and we take time and we respond, we're taking back our power. So it's our choice. Everything is our choice. Everything we do, and we can choose to, as we've said, it's so easy to. We could go into the drama and go over it and over it all day, and we can be going through a few tissue boxes or punching a few pillows, but in the end, it's not going to set us free.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that. And you clearly outlined that in your book, and it's just so brilliantly laid out for people. So, yeah, what an amazing, amazing book.
Well, thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Want to tell everyone a little bit about where they can find your book? So Elizabeth Jane wrote the book called Free and First, Unlocking Your Ultimate Life. And we've been talking a lot about that today. And what an amazing thing. So where can we find it? Where can we buy it?
Yes, so it's the easiest way is to jump on my website, elizabethjane.com. And .au. We have .au in Australia here, so it's elizabethjane.com.au. And if you choose to, my Instagram is elizabethjane.life, LIFE, and I have all my interviews and all my podcasts that I do around the world, and they're different themes, probably every week, a couple each week. And so you can pick and choose one that's topical to you and the situation that you're being challenged with. But I just want to, I just want to also tell your audience that the great thing is the, and I couldn't see it at the time, and it's a really hard thing until you really can have been there, is that each challenge that we get, each obstacle, no matter how big or how small, and whatever theme it has, it's coming with, the money obstacle, the health obstacle, or the relationship obstacle, is it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity if we can just look at it, stand back from it, and realize, what am I meant to learn from this? What am I meant to learn from this? Because trick is, if we don't learn from that experience, we tend to get more assignments in the same genre, in the same theme. So if we're not loving and respecting ourselves, we're getting a boss or our partner or our children disrespecting us. But if we don't learn to step up and respect ourselves, we might change work. We could change jobs. Oh, thank goodness I've got rid of that disrespectful boss. But I believe the chances are, until we clear that energy from us, we will go on find that the next boss is disrespectful, and the situation will keep coming to us until we look at our internal landscape. And when we build us up, then life begins to take on a different flavor. Yes.
Yeah, the universe will keep delivering us the same thing over and over
I
until
know.
we learn from
It's like at Earth School, where it's sort of like, I just think of it
it.
as a big classroom. Oh, yes, okay, well, what are they going to deliver to me today?
Yes. And then sometimes you're like, damn it, I thought I learned this already. That's so funny. Yeah, it's true. And it's like the definition of insanity sometimes. It's taken me a long time to learn certain lessons. But it's pretty cool when you learn and then you can look back and see why those situations happened and then kind of piece everything together and just, I don't know, it's just the way the universe works.
Yeah, and your teachers and your loved ones, so your children and your, your loved ones are often the teachers, and they look like
Oh,
the
yeah.
baddie. They're the baddie because they're delivering the challenge, but they're
Yep.
not. But now I look back and I'm so thankful for my ex, because he was the bad one who delivered the challenge, but he gave me the biggest gift. He gave me the biggest gift, even though it was pretty challenging divorce. He gave me the biggest gift in finding me and
Yeah.
learning to how to be the leader of my life, and the master of my mind. And that's the freedom that I'm just so thankful for. So thankful for that.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. Yeah, such a beautiful lesson, and you're just such a beautiful person.
Oh, so same to you. Thank you, Lisa, for having me on, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Cannot wait. You guys, that was Elizabeth Jane. Just such a bright light and so smart. She's been through so many things, and we all know that the best teachers are the ones that have been through stuff. So if you haven't checked out her website, all that's going to be in the show notes. We'll have a link to her book there. We'll have a link to her social media so you can easily access her should you feel called to. And what a brilliant show. Thank you again, Elizabeth, and to our audience. Until next time.